Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Thanks, guys. Well, the last time that I spoke, I was telling our huddle earlier, please, like, engage and talk to me and smile, because last time I spoke it was to a screen. And you were all at home, and it was Mother's Day last year, and couldn't hear you at all, but I know you were there. But it is such a privilege this morning to be able to be here and to be able to share this word. I need some grace for a couple things. First thing, babe, could you hand me that water? Yeah, thanks. The first thing is that I have misplaced my preaching Bible, which means it's been too long since I preached, I think. So I only have my study Bible, which is like really heavy and like heavy duty. So I have a lot of text to read today, and so I'm going to probably stay close to this platform so I don't have to lug it around. So have grace for me on that. What was the other thing? Oh, I can't remember, but I'm sure I'll need it. So I'm sure you'll give it too, right? Today is Mother's Day. What a wonderful day to celebrate our mamas. But I also know that it can be a hard day. It can be a hard day for lots of people, for lots of reasons. And so I saw something this morning, and it just was so good, and it was wishing happy Mother's Day to these people, to our expectant mothers, to our spiritual mothers. Why am I emotional? What'd you do? It's because you made me, you threw me off. I'm going to blame you. To our biological mothers, to our foster mothers, to our adoptive mothers, to our single mothers, to our stepmothers, to our grandmothers, to our grieving mothers, and to our mothers who are hoping to be still. Happy Mother's Day. Today is a beautiful day, and we're going to celebrate some things that Jesus has been speaking to me personally, just some promises that are right here in his word that maybe that you need to hear too. I know that I definitely did. So being a mom, being a human being, sometimes it's easy to feel like maybe you were left out or you missed out. I remember having a newborn baby, Miles, wherever you are. Oh, I got something to say about you later too. Make sure I got my eyes on you. And we were in ministry school, and I had this newborn baby, and there were so many things that we were learning and so many things that were happening, and I had this crying baby, which I hear your crying babies today, and I love it. Just let him be. I'm fine up here. So he was, you know, needing a lot from me in that moment, and so I used to call it the season of getting the tape. Look, I know I just aged myself because tapes are no longer, but that's where I was, and everything that we were learning and doing, a lot of times I was missing out, or I thought I was. I would be in the back room with the baby, or I had to stay home because the baby had a bedtime, or all of these things that were happening. And I can just tell you this, I didn't miss a single thing. Not one time. And so we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to say three things to you, and you're going to say them back to me by the end of it. And the first thing is, you haven't missed it. The second thing is, you won't run out. And the third thing is, he sees you. Can we pray? God, I just thank you. I thank you that you are a God of promises. Lord, that even when we fall short, God, you never fail us. And I pray that today you would speak through me. God, I know the word that you've given me, but God, I pray that I would just step aside and, Lord, everything that you want to do or say today, I give you full permission. God, use me, speak through me, and touch the hearts of the people in this room today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, here we go. We're going to go through the book of John, the entire thing, in about, we're not. But there's so much text, and I wanted to just condense it, but I can't. So like I said, just have a little grace with me. We're going to start with, let me see where I want to start. We're going to start with John chapter 20, verse 19 through 29. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Verse 24. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hand, put my fingers into them, and place my hand in the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. And then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." In the Bible, in this particular book of the Bible, John, Thomas is called the twin. Three times they refer to him as twin. And I looked that up. I've never understood that. Why is he called the twin? Who is his twin? Who? And there's so many different things said about that. Some people have even said Jesus, he's Jesus's twin, not literally, but somehow he looked like him maybe or something. But I read this little part of this poem, and it's by Denise Levertov, and it says, "Thomas is called the twin because he is my twin." We maybe know him more than we think, maybe all too well. I think that Thomas has this, it's an unfair nickname of being Doubting Thomas. And as we go and we look through the book of John at who this man actually was, I think we'll be a little bit surprised. When we go to John 11, and I'm not going to read all of this text, but in John 11, this is the first time we hear about Thomas, and he's with the disciples. And in verse 16, he's with the disciples and Jesus, and they get word that Lazarus is dying. He's very sick. And Thomas is the one who they said, "What are we going to do? I mean, Lazarus is sick." And Jesus said, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Come and let's go see him." Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go too and die with Jesus." And what we have to understand here is where they were going was dangerous. And where they were going, and he knew that something could happen to Jesus and to them. Thomas, in my humble opinion right here in this verse, was very brave. And he trusted Jesus, and he told the disciples, "Let's go. Let's go even unto death. Let's go." Then we get to chapter 14, and we have another conversation with Thomas. Jesus is saying this. He says in verse 2, "There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way where I'm going." I love Thomas. Listen what he says. "No, Lord, we don't know. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, I am the way, Thomas, and you know me." But I love to see this picture of Thomas here because he's asking the right questions. He's following closely with Jesus and saying, "I want to know. I want to get it right. I'll go with you to death. I don't think I know the way." And Jesus says, "Calm down. It's okay, Thomas. You do. You know me, and I am the way." This is Thomas. So here we go, and we get to verse. Wait, is that where I want to go? Yes, we get back to chapter 20. And they're all together in this locked room because they're afraid. Where on earth is Thomas? Where is he? Nobody knows. Nobody, it never says in the Bible, well, Thomas was tending to this, or someone in Thomas's family had died, or he was hunkered down in fear in the corner of his room. We don't know where Thomas was. But what I do know about Thomas is what we've seen from him before, is that he really loved Jesus. He didn't miss that because he had planned to miss it. And have we ever felt that way? We're trying so hard. We're doing all we know to do. God, we're trying to follow you. We're asking questions along the way. And then this moment comes, and Jesus shows up, and everybody else is there but you. And that feeling of, God, have I missed it? How did I miss you there? How did I let this other thing pull me here or trick me into not being there? Why wasn't I in the room? But in case you missed it, in this story, I don't want you to miss the truth of the gospel this morning. Jesus came back for Thomas, which is to say that Jesus comes back for the ones who maybe miss it. I love in that verse, it says, Jesus knew. He looks around the room and he knew that Thomas was missing that day. So when he got back, he didn't hem-haw around and say, you know, what's everybody been up to? He went straight to Thomas, who he knew had been missing the time before. He said, Thomas, I'll give you the same thing I gave them. I know you need to touch it. I know you need to understand fully. This is me, and I'm coming back for you. But you know what? Isn't it just like us? When something happens, maybe something happens good in someone else's life, or they say, I felt God move this way, and I saw him, and he showed up for me in this thing, and whatever it is. Maybe it's in getting married. Maybe it's in having kids, and you see all these people celebrating such a big God and all the things he's done, and you say, listen, I didn't see that. I haven't seen that, and so when I do, you better believe I'm going to need it in writing, notarized, absolute, God, this is you. I got to put my hands in your side and know for sure. Thomas thought he had missed it. And so that's what we do. We become a little hardened, a little bit skeptical of, God, if you come, I'm going to have to know that it's you, or else I can't do it. I can't. It's too hard. I can't believe. And I love that Jesus, he always knows who's missing. And what does he do? He comes right back and says, peace. Thomas, I give you peace. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry that you weren't here the last time. Whatever it was that was happening, you haven't missed it. And the good news is, whatever it is that we're looking for, whatever it is that we're tending to, Jesus is always looking for us. Behind locked doors, I think about that. It says that the doors were locked because they were afraid. And that stopped Jesus. He showed right up through that door like, guys, here I am. You can hide behind whatever walls you want to hide behind. I'm going to come on through and show back up again to remind you, I will always be looking for you. And I want to be that Tom. It all sums up, you know, in the beginning of John, and I don't think I have that marked. Oh, I do. In chapter 1 of John, as it's going through this whole thing, it says in verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. And I feel like in this moment in John 20, in verse 28, Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He's the one that sums up that whole chapter of God is going to come and reveal himself to us. And Thomas says, yes, my Lord and my God. and he sees him in that moment. Can you say that with me today? I haven't missed it. Say it. I haven't missed it. It doesn't matter where we are or what we're tending to. Jesus, he doesn't miss that you're not in the room, and he's going to show right back up. And you know what I love about this story of Thomas that I had never really paid attention to before, but in chapter 21, I love, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is that story of Simon Peter. Man, he had seen Jesus, all this stuff had happened, and then he had been there in that room twice, and then they go back to fishing, and there they are, and Jesus shows up again to them and reminds them, hey guys, I know this is what you're used to, this is what you've done, but I've called you to this. And you know who it says was there? Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, you and I, and Nathaniel from Cana, which we will get to in just a minute. We're going to go to John 2. And here is what God wants you to remember today. You haven't missed it, and you won't run out. Verse 1. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told them they have no more wine. Dear woman, that is not our problem. Which, can we just stop for just 1 second? Because we have to. In many, many versions of this Bible, it says woman. And I think about Jesus a lot, and he was perfect in every way, but I do wonder sometimes if in that very moment there was just a little nudge from God the Father saying, ooh, maybe don't say that way, woman, that's not my problem. And I don't know if maybe that's why Jesus' miracle happened in that moment, because his dad had a conversation with him. Sometimes that's how it happens in our house. Small miracles happen when dad has a conversation. But he says, dear woman, that's not our problem. Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. And I love Mary in this. But his mother just completely ignored what he just did and said, do whatever he tells you. And sometimes as moms, we do have to ignore our children. For instance, last Sunday, when I was up here at the end of service taking up the offering, and my eldest child, God love him, clearly saw that I brought my phone up with me to look at the announcements and the things coming up, and still proceeded to send me a text while I was standing here doing holy work. And he said, hey, Mom, you owe me $16. Now, I thought about it all week. I thought in that moment, should I call him out? No, I'm going to wait. I just need to really pray about it. The Lord has led me to call him out. Because he happened to buy lunch for his younger siblings while his father and I were at a funeral last Saturday, and he thought that maybe the right time to ask for that was during the church service. And I wanted to say, son, I have given you life. I don't owe you $16. But I didn't. And I still haven't paid you back. Anyway, so Mary, she said, aw, my kid's just being my kid. Just do whatever he tells you, with full faith that he's going to do it. Standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each one could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus stood up and said, servants, fill those jars with water. Now, when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, I love parentheses in the Bible. It says, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then, when everyone has a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So many things, but we're just going to pull three of them out. Number one, in verse 6, here they are at this. Can you imagine, has anybody ever been to a wedding? Of course, everybody's been to a wedding. Has anybody ever put on a wedding? There's so much happening, so much pressure, so much of, you know, you're honoring guests and you want them to feel important that they got invited to this moment. Just imagine all the emotions of that moment. And in verse 6, in this total freak out moment of we have run out of the most important thing at this wedding, what does Jesus say? What you need is nearby. You already have it. It's sitting right there. You're not going to run out. You already have what you need. And I love in verse 10, because it's just like Jesus to say this. I know that usually the first is our best, but in this moment, when you've completely run out of all that you have, of all that you are, that's when I come in with the very best of the best. And in verse 11, I think this is important to see because of what we're going to go to next. But it says, this happened. He revealed his glory, and the disciples saw it, so they believed. Thomas saw it, so he believed. Just wait. But listen, when we come back to this thought, you won't run out. I don't know where you are today. I don't know all the things that maybe you're feeling. Maybe you feel like you're running out of patience, which was me yesterday, but I didn't run out. Maybe you feel like you're running out of opportunities. Maybe you feel like you're running out of time. You won't run out. How do you not run out? You keep inviting Jesus to the party. Listen, that's the most important thing that happened that day, is that they invited somehow. I don't know who these people were, but they invited the right person to the party. And Jesus came, and he said, listen, you're not going to run out. When you think you're at your wit's end, when it's the end of your rope, when you have nothing left, I promise you, you won't run out. Will you say it with me? I won't run out. Okay, now we're going to flip back to chapter 1 and verse 45. What's happening here is this is before they go to that wedding, the first miracle Jesus does, and he's gathering up lots of people saying, hey, you want to come follow me? Great things are happening. Let's go. And he, one by one, as he invites someone, because this is what happens, then they invite someone else. So in verse 45, Philip, he meets Jesus, thinks, unbelievable. I cannot believe this is the Messiah. This is the guy. I have to go and tell Nathanael. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person that Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And I love this part so much. It says, Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come from Nazareth? How many times have we said that to God? God, can anything good come from this? You've got to be kidding. From this? Philip says, come and see for yourself. You have to see it for yourself. As they approached, Jesus said, now. I love this. Listen, Philip doesn't see him and immediately say, wow, that's the one. I knew his eyes would be that color. That's the one. I knew. I have a sign. What happens? Jesus says to Philip, the letters are red in the Bible. Now, here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. How do you know about me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus replied, I could see you under that fig tree before Philip even found you, I could see you. Then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. And Jesus asked him, do you believe this because I told you that I had seen you under the fig tree? Oh, buddy, you will see far greater things than that. And as this story kind of swirled around the Bible for me, and it started with Thomas, this man who we've always known to be doubting. He missed it, wasn't there at the right time. We go from that to the story of the wedding, this promise of we're not going to run out. But literally, right before chapter 2 starts, and that reminder of this miracle that Jesus does, we go back just a bit and we see Nathanael, this man who has no idea that Jesus can see him as he sits under this fig tree. But I want you to remember, Thomas believed because he saw. The disciples saw Jesus' first miracle, and that was like a click for them. Yes, he's real. I knew it, I thought, but I saw it. So I believe. Nathanael is something different. Nathanael believed because Jesus saw him. And I just want to remind you today that whatever tree you might be sitting under, whether it's a tree of disappointment or fear, broken promises, lost opportunities, trying your best and it's not working, hopeful but not really sure, whatever tree that you might find yourself sitting under, Jesus wants to meet you in this moment and say, hey, I saw you before you even knew me, before you even could believe what I had in store for you. I saw you. And I was calling you. And if we would just believe, like Nathanael said, I believe because you saw me. What does Jesus say next? He says, you believe because I saw you, but you are going to see some greater things, buddy. You have no idea what's about to happen in your life. And what happened the very next chapter? Nathanael was with them in that first miracle. Jesus doesn't make a promise and then cut it short and say, well, actually, that was probably the best thing you'll ever see, that I came to you and I told you that I saw it. No, he goes straight into this wedding, a little bit maybe unexpected, and says, okay, I'm going to show these people. But listen, Thomas is our twin. He's just like us, where we just say, we have to know that we know, God. We got to put our hand in your side and make sure all the things line up before we're going to really believe it's you. And the disciples, even if they didn't know it, they still needed that thing to see to believe. Nathanael, he believed the moment God said, I see you right where you are. And I want you to hear that today, that he sees you. He sees you in the wondering and the questioning and really giving your all and your best. He sees you. I'm going to read verse 50 one more time. Jesus asked him, do you believe just because I told you that I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. Will you guys stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.